kingdom in a fresh way, Lord. To all of us here this morning, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. So it's always difficult when you come into a service and think, well, what do I say? What's the kind of, how do I kind of leave the situation where we are? And what do I, and so I kind of thought a number of things. And I was in my garden the other day, and as I do regularly, gardening. And so the Lord began to speak to me there. So I thought, well, it's a good place to start. So I'm going to do that. And it's I'm going to let you know what the theme is in a minute. But I want to first say this. We're on holiday. We went to a place called Broadstairs, which is on the east coast of England. It's a wonderful place because the sun is literally there at this time of year all the year round, so or this particular time of year. I mean, a wonderful time. Every day but one was sunny. Then we went up to Catherine's uncle and aunt. Then we went to... where do we go? So we went to Nebworth, which is next to Stevenage, and we were able to catch up with friends which we'd been in Stevenage, and it was a time which was really encouraging. And then on one of the days, we took Zach to the cinema for the very first time. And one of those things, I suddenly realised what an amazingly overwhelming experience it is to go into a cinema as a person about that high. And so we had some friends who looked after Sophia, and we booked in to see Toy Story 3. And so Zach was so excited about it, because on holiday he saw Toy Story 1, Toy Story 2, about 1,500 times. And it was just wonderful to go and see something fresh and new. So we went there together. We paid for the tickets, which is like getting a mortgage on a house. We then went to get some snacks and things, and we went in there, and because it was 3D cinema, they gave us our glasses. So we went into the cinema, we sat down, I sat down here, Zach sat down here, Catherine sat down here. And because he's three, but he's still quite small, the seat kept going, and his legs kept going from here like this. And every time we sat down, it's like, and then it's like really, so we're trying to sort of encourage him to stay seated and not to run out of the building, because it's going to be very exciting in a minute. And then once he'd gone through that experience, the next experience for him was this. Thank you very much. Buddy Holly, here we come. But anyway, so they're falling off his ears and off his nose and all this kind of thing. So we kind of thought, oh, we really hope this is going to be a good experience for him. So anyway, eventually we sat down, had our food, got ready for the film, and the adverts began to come up. And as the adverts came up, there came a message saying, please put on your 3D glasses, which we already had. And so we sat down and watched the film. And then suddenly, as the film began to come up, What had we been watching kicked in to a different dimension. What was one-dimensional and flat led us into a magical world. The picture literally jumped out of the screen. And without the glasses, the screen was blurred and unclear. But with the glasses, we entered into a magical world. It's good, isn't it? Yeah. I'm seeing you like guys in 3D. You're even better than you are normally. It's fantastic. So if you turn with me to John 3, we come across a character, Nicodemus, who was living in a one-dimensional world. But the Lord wanted him to live in 3D. And so if you find that with me now, I'm just going to kind of praise it, and I'm going to comment on it as we go along. So it says this, now there's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. So Nicodemus was a very well-respected man within Israel. He had a wonderful standing before the people of God. He was a Pharisee, he was a senior rabbi, he was a member of the Sanhedrin, or the Jewish ruling council. In other words, he was a member of the General Synod. He was a highly regarded teacher within Israel, and he's a leading theologian. And from society's perspective, he had it all. But something was about to change. He was intrigued by the person of Jesus, and he visits him under the cover of night. And so we can speculate why he visited Jesus under the cover of night. One, he might not have been wanted to be seen. because he wanted to approach Jesus to find out a bit more about who he was. But if you read the book of John, the book of John's all about God bringing his light into the world. Those walking in darkness have seen a great light. And so Nicodemus comes to Jesus under the cover of night, but he does not realize he's walking in darkness. And so he comes to Jesus that night and says, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who comes from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." And in his encounter with Jesus, he wrongly takes the position as the rabbi. He wrongly takes the position that he is the teacher of Israel. He assumes his position before Jesus by speaking to him. He says this, "We know you are a teacher who comes from God, for no one can perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." So he speaks as a rabbi to Jesus. He also uses the term "we," which refers to the fact that his conclusions are going to be made by him, were not his alone. So he comes to Jesus on behalf of a group of people. I imagine part of his Jewish ruling council, all those sort of questions about Jesus, all about this and the other. And so they're assuming that they're stating who Jesus is, "Your teacher, you're from God," didn't say "you are God," and because of the miraculous signs, that testifies who you are. But they're making their judgments about Jesus from the first dimension. Their understanding of God was blurred and unclear, as Jesus was about to show. And so Jesus replies to Nicodemus. And in his reply, he changes the situation around. He becomes the rabbi and teacher of Israel, and Nicodemus becomes his pupil. Jesus says this, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." And I imagine that must have resonated in Nicodemus. What on earth does he mean, born again? And so he's thinking, I'm thinking on what I understand in earthly terms. I want to think, what does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be born again? So his question and reply to God was one from an earthly perspective, because he's only seeing in the first dimension. And then what happened? Jesus unsettled the teacher of Israel by exposing his spiritual needs. Nicodemus says, "How can you be born again when you are old? Surely you can't enter a second time into a mother's womb to be born again." And I imagine many mothers here would be thinking, "My gosh, I wouldn't particularly want my three-year-old child back inside," or, you know, it'd be quite an overwhelming perspective. But Jesus answered Nicodemus because Nicodemus did not know the answer to the question. But the teacher of Israel did. He says this, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." And so Jesus is bringing light into his darkness. Jesus, light of the world. Jesus is saying someone who's stumbling around in darkness. But when Jesus' light comes in, he opens up the possibilities of God and his truth. So Jesus bringing light into darkness. He wants Nicodemus to enter into the life of the Spirit. To enter into a different dimension. The dimension of the Spirit. It is not blurred. It is not unclear. It's magical and wonderful, and it's the place where God resides. And so he says this, "You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. To be born of water and born of the Spirit." And if we look at the scriptures, God refers to water in many situations. We see a nation being delivered through water from the bondage of Israel, of the bondage of Egypt, into the promised land. We see water welling up into eternal life at the lady and the woman at the well. We see the image of water in baptism as we go down in the water and cleanse from our unrighteousness and brought up by the blood of Christ into righteousness. And we see water as a sign of new life. And then Jesus says to be born of water and to be born of the Spirit. And to be born of the Spirit means that we're born again. John says this at the beginning. He says, yet all who received him, that is Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descendants, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. And to be born again means to live life differently, to live life by the Spirit, to enter into the 3D. Not operating as Nicodemus did on the natural plane, but to operate as Jesus did on the spiritual plane. Jesus goes on in verse 12, he says this, I've spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? You have to move your understanding from the natural to the supernatural. From earthly to heavenly. From one dimension to three dimension. That must have woken Nicodemus up, mustn't it? Then Jesus says this. He says, you must be born again. Then he says this. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So to be born again means to be born of the Spirit. To be born of the Spirit means to be born of the wind. The word in Hebrew and Greek is interchangeable. Spirit, wind. Wind, spirit. Spirit, wind. So when you're born again, you're born of the Spirit, you're born of the wind. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. The first thing is, what Jesus is saying here is that you as people of God become people of the Spirit. You become people of the wind. You become people of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And you'll be recognized, firstly, you are not in control. The Spirit of the Lord is in control. Secondly, if you're born of the Spirit, you'll recognize the Spirit. You'll recognize God's activities. What did Jesus do? He's looking for what the Father was doing. How did he see that? The Lord God showed him to what the Spirit was doing. Thirdly, you don't know where it comes or where it's going. And so the times and seasons are in the hands of God alone. They're not in my hands. They're not Rob's hands. They're in his hands. Because he is God. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And then Nicodemus made the biggest mistake in his life by saying, how can that be? And Jesus had to tell him, didn't he? He says, you are Israel's teacher, and you do not understand these things. It's an incredible statement to say to someone who's been so elevated, who's such a trusted teacher for the nation of Israel. But that day, Nicodemus became a pupil because the teacher of Israel stood before him. And I just want to encourage you, Rob, in your ministry as you go out of here, is that like all of us, we have a bit of a Nicodemus in each one of us, but you will meet Nicodemuses who are walking in a one dimension, like we all do at different times. But your job is to help them enter into the life of the Spirit. And opening the window and letting the Holy Spirit, letting the wind in, can be very convenient to Nicodemuses of this world. Because the Nicodemuses of this world like things tidied up, labelled, sorted, and put in neat piles. But I'm afraid that's not how the kingdom of God works. It blows one way and another. I don't know if it's coming or going. It's not in our control, but it's in God's. And we are called to listen to the voice of Jesus. Because Jesus speaking of a new seeing, a new knowing, a new being, a new knowledge that comes from God alone and is ushered in as we are born again into the things of the Spirit. Jesus says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. And so Jesus' message is received to those who are humble enough to come to Jesus like a child. The treasure and the secrets of the kingdom have been hidden from the wise and the learned unless they humble themselves like children and approach the throne of grace like a child. Otherwise, we can't enter into the things of the Spirit. And if we don't enter into the things of the Spirit, we can't enter into the things of the kingdom. And I just want to re-encourage you, Rob, that you'll have people who will be following you to the church and to the ministry that you have, who will have a plan for your church. But it's not your church. It's God's. Jesus is the head of the church. We must learn from him and do it his way. The ministry of Jesus is the ministry of the Spirit. Jesus was anointed by the Spirit, and we know that very much in this church. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me. So Jesus couldn't do his ministry without the anointing of the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit. He was led into the desert to be tempted, and he was led continuously in his ministry. The words spoken by Jesus were Spirit. And it says in John 6, there's spirit and life, or we see other translations, spirit and truth. But Jesus' teaching was very offensive to a number of people. He says this. He goes, the spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words are spoken to a spirit, and they are life. Yet the some of you do not believe, for Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. Then he goes on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to the Father unless he has enabled me. And then he goes on to say, many people left him because of his teaching. But Peter said to him, you have the words of life, or eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. And sometimes in the teaching of Jesus, it's not always what we always want to hear. But the challenge is in that we're here to please the King. Fourthly, he ministered by the power, that's Jesus, and relied on the Spirit. And finally, sent his Spirit so we could continue his work till his return. And so this morning, it's a reminder to you, me, and all each one of us that he wants us to move from the first dimension and to put on the eyes of the kingdom. We can put it on by faith and by choice. And God wants us to be born again, to be born of the Spirit. Not to see things dull and vaguely, but to see the dimension of what God wants to bring upon this earth. And so this morning what we want to do is to pray for Rob and Dillis and to invite the Spirit upon them to send them out, to bless their ministry, and to look forward to hearing the stories as we hear what God is doing with them in this season and this time. So if I could ask Rob and Dillis to come forward, it would be great. And if I can invite those who are part of CORE and who would like to pray for them with me, and just to so if a few people come forward and pray, it'd be great.
Rush at once.
No.
That's it, brilliant. Lord,
yeah, that's right, yeah, Lord, thank you, Father. So I just introduce the prayer as just people pray for them, Lord. So Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for lending us Rob and Dillis for this season. We thank you, Lord, for all they have been to us. And Lord, we just want to just in a minute we're going to welcome your presence in your way, because you do it your way. But Lord, we just want, as your people, just to have an opportunity to pray for them, Lord, and to speak and over them, and then we're going to commission them in terms of sending them out, because they'll be commissioned uniquely to see us this evening. But we want to send them out with our blessing. So if you want to start praying, let's just do that. Bless them, Lord.
God, I thank you for the good things that that you've put into our world.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you. And the spiritual DNA is going to be expressed in this new thing that we're starting.
Yes, Lord.
And God, I ask that you would be able to carry the spiritual inheritance from this church.
Yes.
That they would bring that with them. And that they would find a place to express the inheritance that they have been given, the DNA that you've put in them both.
Thank you, Lord. Bless them, Lord Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless them, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Don't let the world squeeze them into its mold, Lord, but let them be your people, Lord. Let them be, Lord, just going after you, Lord, and in everything, Lord. Just let them be, Lord, your people there, Lord, in this new situation, in this fresh challenge, Lord. Just, oh, Lord, just lead them on and lead them out, and, oh, Lord, just bless them and give them everything they need, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
God, I pray every blessing on Rob and Dillis. God, as they go out on this big adventure, God, that you would fill them up with your spirit, God, that you would bless them in every way, Lord. You provide everything. You will provide everything for them. We trust you. And Lord, I pray that they could trust you, and that they would not lean on their own understanding, but they would trust you in everything, Lord. Show them the way. That voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. So Lord, I thank you for them, and we just pray your protection over them as they go out, Lord, because the enemy is going to want to not going to want them to succeed. So Lord, we pray success for Rob and Dillis.
Yes,
we pray your success for them and their family.
Multiply it, Lord.
Yes, God, I pray success. I pray many, many would come to faith through their ministry, God. I pray many would be rescued out of the enemy's camp, Lord, and would find that three-dimensional path, Lord, that way into the spiritual things, Lord. I pray for clear communication between Rob and you, Father, and for Dillis as well, God. I pray for that clarity of communication, so they would be have no doubt, Lord, which way you are leading them. Thank you, God, for them.
Bless Lord. Thank you, Father. Bless them, Lord.
Lord Jesus, when you move into this part of ministry, which is running a church, it has it can be quite all-consuming, and it is not, you can't guess it unless you've done it and you're in the middle of it. And so, Lord Jesus, I just want to pray for Rob and Delis and Ethan and Alana, that you would really protect them as a family.
Yes, Lord.
That you would put a shield around them. Yes. That you would make sacred their days off. You would make sacred their home. That you would keep it safe. That you would guard it with angels and protection. That you would not let anything, any plan of the evil one to disturb the unity that they need to walk out your calling. You would not allow anything to come in against them. Lord Jesus, they need great protection. They need your arms around them, and they need your security. I pray your light to shine throughout that house, that there's nothing of the darkness that can be there. And we just pray particularly for their children. We pray that they will be always welcomed and loved and happy and content. We pray that they would always be a part of everything that's going on, that they would be rooted and established in you and full of joy and security. We pray for Rob as he's pulled between the pull of a church family that has so many demands, but also a family that you've given him that must come first. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you give him the wisdom and how to discern and make decisions, that sometimes you can't please everybody. And I really pray that you will give him a fresh anointing of leadership to make those decisions, and that to support his family. And for Dillis as well, as she steps out into something new, that you would give her, like when a flower is growing and you want it to grow straight, you put like a rod beside it. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, that you would show her how to grow and what she's to grow into, that she doesn't have anything put on her that isn't of you, that she has the freedom to discern what your calling is and what your gifts are for her, and she is able to grow in them. I pray you will water her with fertilizer, and you'll make fertile the ground where she feels she needs more, she doesn't have enough. But Lord Jesus, my prayer today is that you would bind them together as a family and protect them, Lord Jesus, and bless them.
Thank you, Father. Bless you, Lord.
Lord, thank you that you not only walk every single step with Rob and Dillis, but you have gone ahead of them every single step of them. They will take. You have been there. You have cleared that path, and you will continue to walk with them. And I pray that whatever life will bring in their future, that whether it's tears of happiness or tears of sadness, Lord, that the joy of the Lord would be their strength, that they would just hold on to that and walk in that, that God is with them no matter what, and he will never ever leave or forsake them.
Yes, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Father, Lord.
Rob and Dillis, when I was on my way into church this morning, I saw two posters that jumped out at me, and I just decided to share them with you. And the first one said, "There is no room for compromise." And the second one said, "Fun is for sharing." So, Lord, we just bless Rob and Dillis. We bless them. We thank you for what you are doing. Lord, we thank you for what you are doing in the lives of each one of us. Lord, there's a lot of people in transition and on the move. Lord, your kingdom isn't a static, it's fluid. Lord, you told us to go, to go, to go. And Lord, we just thank you that they are just hearing the call and they're going, Lord. And Father, we just pray that there will be no compromise, Lord. There will be no compromise in their hearts, Lord, in the lives of anybody they're around, Lord. That they will, Lord, do as even was preached this morning, teach Nicodemus and tell him, help the woman at the well and give her the drink of living water, that they will introduce people to Jesus. They will be conduits and ambassadors of grace to bring people into the kingdom, that the flow of the Holy Spirit will be the mark in their church of signs and wonders and healing and hope and help. And Heavenly Father, that there will be a work done which will be marked for eternity. Lord, even as Jesus went on the cross, and it was the biggest event in the world, the biggest event in history. ministry, when we put on the 3D glasses, we see it, Lord. And Heavenly Father, I pray that they will give the 3D glasses to many, and they will give the cup of water to many, and that there will be no compromise in their faith. And Lord God, we thank you that there will be fun in the church and fun in their lives, Lord, and sharing. And fun is for sharing. So Lord, we pray for happiness. We pray for joy to explode in the church. We pray, Lord, that the joy will just draw people in, and the music and the warmth and the relationship and the friendship will be like a hot fire, and that there will be fun in the church and fun in their lives and fun in their hearts, Lord. But it will be marked by the joy of the Lord being their strength. And we pray these things and we bless them in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Brilliant. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. So, Lord Jesus, we just want to welcome your Holy Spirit now to come upon them, to fill them afresh and anew, that you give them everything they need to do what you've called them to do, Lord. And, Lord, we send them out with our love and our blessing. We send them out to do the works of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that as they're sent out, your Son will be glorified in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen. And so what we're going to do, we're going to sing our final song. We're going to sing in the name of the Father and the name of the Son, as we're going to, as a song of celebration and rightful focus on all that is ahead. So shall we stand? Well, let's stand, whatever.
songs of praise, our God saves, our God saves.
Favorite verses in the Bible is one of the verses of David. He says this: not to us, O Lord, but to your name be the glory. For all that we have accomplished, you have done for us. And Lord, this morning we want to give glory to your Son, Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for the wonderful sacrifice he made upon the cross for each one of us here this morning. For those here this morning who do not know that, we'd love to pray with you after the service. We thank you, Lord, for sending your Spirit, Lord, and we thank you for the Father. And Lord, we don't understand how it all works, but we understand all that we need to in you. And so, Lord, I want to pray this morning, Lord, that every blessing upon those here and our friends and families, we pray, Lord, that we would hear great stories of what you're doing in this church and outside this church, where Rob is, in the city, around the corner, Lord. Your stories, Lord, because it's about your Son and about him. And so, Lord, I want to pray every blessing upon all those here this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So 4 o'clock this afternoon at Rathmines Church. It'll be great seeing everybody there. Tea and coffee at the back. Wonderful seeing you guys, and look forward to catching up over the next few weeks. So God bless, and we'll see you guys soon.